The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work in the vineyard today.' He said in reply, 'I will not,' but afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. It's a powerful gospel passage that we have, and there's a lot of context to help us understand what Jesus is driving at here. I won't rehash my email, which was a very challenging email to write that explores some of this context, but I do want to lean on at least what I was able to surmise there. Here, what we're seeing is we are seeing a chronological progression. So what I mean, here we have the two sons, we have a yes and then not going, and we have a no and then going. And that is, in fact, a chronological reality. And it's to do with the John the Baptist and Jesus event, and what has come before that, and then that same moment. Okay, so before John the Baptist arrives on the scene, we have the chief priests and elders of the people, and we have sinners. Okay, the unworthies, the people who lack a resume, right? The people who have nothing to put in front of God to commend themselves to him. Right? We have Israel, basically people who are colluding with Israel's enemies. Okay, so how could they be any part at all of building up the kingdom of God, which he wanted to do in and through Israel, when they're colluding with his or their enemies? So here, tax collectors and prostitutes. Then John the Baptist arrives on the scene. And we see that movement in the gospel. We also see allusions to that movement. So we have these big crowds of people going out to see John, and he's calling what? He's calling for repentance. He's calling for repentance in preparation for the Messiah, in preparation for Israel's king returning and the kingdom of God being firmly and finally established in and as and through Israel. So John comes, and tax collectors and prostitutes respond to him by the conversion of their lives. They give up their ways, and they give themselves over to God's way. Jesus' opponents, the chief priests and elders, we see send people out to John to see what the movement is about. But they are not concerned at all to reform their ways. Their ways are in no need of reform. They are more concerned for maintaining their own power and their positions of privilege. So although their lives looked like a big yes to God, because their lives were consumed with the things of the practice of religion, they then, when they failed to respond to John, in fact are saying no to God and his plan and purpose. Our challenge is this. So that's a particular historical moment. Our challenge is this, that Jesus' reign has been inaugurated. Jesus is the king. We see at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, of course, we're only in the 21st chapter here, so we have seven more chapters to find this out, but Jesus says at the end of Matthew's Gospel, all power and authority has been given to me. Go ye therefore and baptize, right? Go ye therefore, spread the gospel of my kingship. So Jesus has been installed as king. Jesus has gathered a new Israel to himself to bring God's blessing to life in the world. And we find ourselves in that historical moment. So we find ourselves at this time where God is summoning us to him, to live for him and his purposes alone. So we now find ourselves in position to say yes or no to him. Yes or no to the king in our midst. Because all this stuff is wrapped up in questions of the Messiah. But like I said, we're going to go there. Jesus is the king, and he is the rightful ruler of our hearts and lives. And it's ours then to say yes to him. It's not ours to say no to him and live in the fantasy of his not being Lord or king of our lives, ruler of our lives. It's ours to say yes to him, acknowledge that reality, and live in his service. Now, there are a couple of challenges here, and I want to at least offer them for your continued prayer and meditation. I think one is this: looks can be deceiving. Looks can be deceiving, and here in Jesus's parable, what he's pointing to with the chief priests and elders, and the tax collectors and prostitutes, is that the chief priests and elders prefer to seem rather than to be. They have all the appearance, right? All the outward appearance of religiosity, but all the while there's no love for God in their hearts. I shouldn't say there's no love for God, but you know, this is Jesus' exhortation to them. They are failing in the most important things, even if they're doing all the little things right. And they have to then come back to God for renewal and restoration so that they can love him with their whole mind, heart, soul, and strength. And the neighbors themselves, the very things that, I don't know, they're in fact not keen to focus on. They prefer the clothes and the outward signs and the prayers and the control and the power and the rest that comes with it. And then here, what seems like no can quite easily be turned around. Yes, so although the tax collectors and prostitutes were in rebellion against God, at the word of God, they reformed their lives. At the word of God, they allowed his mercy to transform them. Finding themselves loved by him, they were freed to live for God and his purposes. And so they did. How close at hand was conversion? Okay, so we have this. It's kind of superficial. Now, one of the real challenges, I think, is that this is made all the more difficult because the chief priests and elders are wrapped up in the things of religion. So it's very easy for them both to deceive the people around them, whether they're doing it willfully or not, and also to deceive themselves, because they're just doing the stuff of religion all the time. And maybe they have come to believe that that's enough. I have given myself over to God because I'm occupied with his stuff all the time. The problem is that, I mean, this is a big challenge. I don't know if it's a big challenge for you personally. It can be a big challenge for me, is to say, use the things of God for my own purposes. So I want God instead. What I want in my weaker or more wicked moments, I want God to rubber stamp my agenda. Okay, it's my life, and I want to do my thing, and I want God to bless me. Yeah, I want all the good things that he can give me, and then guess what? When I live my life that way, and you can remember back, perhaps this is a me and Jesus mentality instead of a Jesus and me mentality. When I live my life that way, I can become very frustrated when I don't get what I want that I believe God is supposed to give me. And then you can find good words to sum that up in the first reading. You say the Lord's way is not fair. You say the Lord's way is not fair because you're living your way and you expect God to rubber stamp your agenda. And God's response is the same today as it was then. Is it my way that is unfair, or rather, are not your ways unfair? Because we are called to live with one Lord, and we are not that Lord. Jesus is that Lord. So it has to be Jesus and me. And the real blessing is when we find ourselves called by Jesus to lay down our entire life to him and to serve him and him alone. So not us, not our agenda, not the agenda of anyone else or anything else, but to serve him and his agenda. That's the yes. And no matter where we find ourselves, looking like yes or not, the yes in practice is the yes that we want to live today. And the blessing, in fact, is not simply that we get to do what we want and God, you know, makes us happy or approves of what we're up to, but that by laying down our entire life for him and living for his purposes, we can embody his blessing for the world. We can be part of his good and perfect plan to build up the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And we will know joys beyond anything at all the world can offer us, because we'll be so wrapped up in God and his way that all there will be for us is happiness. Now, I think you heard what I just said, right? But you know that this is not like the way Christian life is lived oftentimes. And this is like the last point. It's not like the last point. I'm hoping it's the last point. The Spirit, you know, okay. So, when we say yes to God, the challenge is not over. The challenge is just beginning. Because the kingdom of God, at the end, is just a kingdom of love. It's a civilization of love. And we have to persevere in love no matter what we come in contact with. And we come in contact with a lot that would otherwise set us back. But we're only going to grow if we find ourselves in the struggle. The struggle to forgive, the struggle to show mercy. And in the end, that's all it is. That's all it is. And all the things of religion, our being here at Mass, our offering the sacrifice of the Son and our whole heart and life along with Jesus' sacrifice, our whole life of prayer and the rest, is all a support to have us receive the love of God and embody it for others. That's it. That's it. So we shouldn't also fool ourselves into like, okay, well, we're making progress because we're checking this box, that box, that box, right? No, we're making progress when we're growing in love. And one of our challenges is that we often only grow when we're faced with opposition. But my friends, we can climb that hill. And we'll climb that hill together. It's a bit of resistance training. And we'll be thankful that we've been called to take that on. We're thankful that we're called to take that on together. And receiving the love and strength of God, we can. We can and we will. We can continue to say yes. So let's live our full yes to God today. Jesus will give us the strength to persevere in love.